We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome to the Guilty as Charged podcast, coming to you live on a Tuesday evening. My name is Steven, and I'm the host, as always, and joining me is my guy, Tyler. Tyler, what's up, man? How you doing tonight?
Doing well, but I'm feeling spring break is right there, man. So I'm just crawling a little bit slowly there, but hey, got a mock draft. That gets me going again.
Yeah, the juices are certainly pumping, doing a mock draft, and our school follows like the Southern California track of spring break. Brooke's school is already on spring break. So she got the little thumbs up there. I guess they're happy about Brooke's spring break. But yeah, Brooke is on spring break this week. The local school districts here are on spring break this week. So it's very jealous seeing everybody that I know here is already chilling. And I have to wait another week. But we're almost there, like you said.
So close. So close.
That's right. As always, tonight's show is presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. Be sure to go use the link prizepicks.com/guilty for a deposit match up to $100. This is the perfect time to use Prize Picks as the NBA season's coming down the home stretch. We got March Madness coming up, so please go check it out.
Heck, you can go and look at the NFL stuff that's going on right now for season passing yards for Mahomes or rushing yards for another running back. Like, you want NFL stuff? It's already up. So go have fun.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot of fun. They're expanding and adding more to the palette, if you will, every single month, it feels like. So Prize Picks is awesome. Please go check it out. Obviously, the league ownership meetings are happening. Jim Harbaugh spoke to the media yesterday. We are going to have our takeaways there on the Chargers channel tomorrow. So tonight we're going to be starting up our mock draft series. This is an idea that we wanted to hit on this year to kind of create different themes of how to, you know, draft for offense, draft for defense, trading down. I don't know if we'll do a trading up one, maybe the trade up in the second round kind of deal. But we're going to attack different kind of ideas and scenarios for the Chargers. We talk a lot about the first round. This is a way for us to talk about a lot of different prospects, and I think it's a fun conversation to have, so looking forward to it. Before we dive in there, a piece of news about the podcast, if you will. Tomorrow's episode on the Chargers feed is going to be our last, unfortunately. We signed a one-year deal with the Chargers. It's been a ton of fun doing the work with the team. The content team is as good of people as it seems they are good at their job, if that makes sense. So it's been a true treat, true pleasure, working with the Chargers team. Obviously been a dream come true. But when coaching changes and GM changes happen, that affects every aspect of the organization, and that includes content creation. So Tyler and I are strictly guilty as charged on our own channel for the at least the short term. The door is certainly not closed, but this is just our own channel moving forward. Obviously, I want to thank Jason and Megan and Tyler and Brian and Greg and everybody that we've been working with over at the Chargers. It's been a true treat to work with them, and we're a little sad, but excited to do stuff strictly on our own channel again, as we have done in the past.
Yep. We were given a year, and it was an awesome year. We got to do so many different things, obviously going onto the field, interviewing Joshua Kelly, Eric Kendricks, just walking to the shady part of the sideline on the other side of the field was an absolute treat. But no, everything was fantastic. Loved working with these guys, and they really just let us do whatever we wanted. They trusted us to do our thing. We got to do our thing. I wish it were during a better season. That's for sure. Definitely didn't anticipate this kind of season that we had, but it was a treat. It was awesome. And I really thank them for that.
Yeah, 100%. So you guys are going to get live shows on this channel 3 days a week for the foreseeable future as we get back to our old model. So that'll be happening in the same kind of schedule that we've been doing. We've been recording with the Chargers on Mondays previously. So we'll be live on Mondays from now on. Tuesdays and Thursdays as always, and then we'll sprinkle in some Saturday shows as we go, but definitely wanted to update you guys. Tomorrow is the last episode there on the Chargers feed, at least in the short term. We'll see what happens down the road, but go check it out. It's a ton of fun. We did a great episode of draft non-negotiables tomorrow for the team, some ideas, philosophies, draft strategies that we really believe the Chargers absolutely have to use in this 2024 class. So hopefully you guys enjoy that one. It was definitely an episode that we were pretty excited about.
Yeah, it was. And we'll talk about some of those today. And we're about to get into this mock draft and really what we're, obviously we're leading a certain way on purpose today, but there's some of the things that we're going to try to get done to make this team better. We can't neglect an entire position group in football for the Chargers. Yeah. That was Tom Telesco's thing. And even in a... We're gonna try not doing that.
Nicely done. So we'll get into this mock draft. This is an offense heavy lean. We are going to be targeting a specific defensive position group. We'll get into that in a minute. But the goal here, as the title is laid out in front of you, is to build the best possible offense around Justin Herbert. So we're gonna do try and do offense as much as we can. There's certain things that at some point we will take some defensive players, but the Chargers have 9 picks. I would probably assume at least 7 of them will be offense in this show. When we get to our defensive draft, there will be some offense and vice versa. But again, the goal here is to talk about different strategies, different players at different points in the draft, as opposed to just cycling through the same kind of talking points that we've been doing across Chargers Twitterverse, if you will.
Right. Generally, it's whatever the strategy is as we have the draft and the mock simulator goes and whatever comes to us. In this case, we're going in with a certain perspective, and it might force some reaches. It might force us to pass on really good defensive players, but we are going with this in mind. So would I necessarily lean this way or another way for all defense? No, of course, we're trying to be balanced, find the best player, etc. But again, just different strategies instead of just, oh, we'll run the mock and see what happens. We're going to try to be aggressive on offense and build this thing around Justin Herbert.
Yeah, sounds good. All right, let's get going. Very interested to see how this mock pans out. I think PFF updated their board recently as well. Mm-hmm. But we'll get started here.
Let's do it. And we actually know more people this time, so that's a lot of fun.
Okay, so in this scenario, you have Caleb Williams going number 1, Drake May going number 2, which apparently is not happening, which is the craziest thing ever to me, but what it is. Jaden Daniels 3, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. at 4. So Tyler, what's your first thought process here as we look at this board? QBs go 1 through 3, and then Harrison 4, which is a pretty realistic scenario.
Right. That's what I was going to say. We're finally getting a board where the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. goes. It feels like it's always been 2 quarterbacks, something random, probably Marvin Harrison Jr. Now it's 3 quarterbacks and Marvin Harrison Jr. So this is probably the most likely outcome for what the Chargers are going to be facing on Thursday night when they get through the first round to their pick. As Jim Harbaugh said, there's going to be a great player available here. They could argue it's almost like the first pick in the draft. If Marvin Harrison Jr. obviously goes, then it's the second pick to them. And in this case, the best player is Malik Nabers. On my board, the best player is Malik Nabers. I'm pretty sure on your board, it's between Nabers and Bowers. I think Bowers is higher graded for you. To me, Bowers might be higher graded for me, but Nabers will be ranked higher due to the fact that he is a wide receiver. And I do like the value here. So I am slowly, I was not feeling this way before free agency, but I'm starting to lean towards more Malik Nabers here at five rather than trading back, which is tough because I've been pro trade back this whole time. And I'm not against it by any means, but you just jettisoned away Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and obviously Austin Eckler and Gerald Everett. And so the Justin Herbert needs his next guy. Sure. And Malik Nabers is the best receiver they're going to have a shot at drafting for a very long time. So I am where I was not before. I'm more team stay here and take Malik Nabers. At the same time, 11 and 23 is the other direction I'd go. To me, it's unless, you know, Trevor Sigmund talked about trading down with the Bears, I'd be open to that idea and taking Odunze or Bauer should they fall.
Sure.
But I like 11 and 23 quite a bit. Obviously, McCarthy's still on the board. So to me, in a 1A, 1B situation, I'll go Malik Nabers, stay and pick, or trade back to 11 and 23.
I think everybody at this point in time knows I'm not selecting Joe Alt. I think I've come a little bit more around on him as a prospect overall, but for the Chargers, I don't love it. I do believe in Trey Pipkins, and I do believe also that this wide receiver room, which before trading Keenan Allen and cutting Mike Williams, if you're like, hey, like we believe in our wide receiver room, I would have understood that. But now I just think that you have to be able to inject some long-term juice into this room because Josh Palmer is a free agent after next season. You don't know really what you have in Quentin Johnston, although Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman and everybody are saying nice things about him, and I'm rooting for that to happen. I do think you need to inject some wide receiver talent into this room. That doesn't have to be at five, but I think that's probably where I would lean at this point in time as well. But I'm curious about the Brian Thomas aspect of the question because theoretically and presumably he's going to be on the board at 11. So let's have that conversation, Tyler. How much of a drop-off is there between Nabers and Odunze and then Brian Thomas, who kind of seems like consensus wide receiver four in the draft community,
Yeah.
How much of there is a difference for you between the two on the screen currently and Brian Thomas Jr.?
I think that he is like a firm wide receiver four for me, but at the same time, he is also, now granted, I don't grade quarterbacks, so I don't know where he'd be. But right now he's 15th on my draft board. So is there a drop off? Sure. But to me, like this is a player that should go in the top 20. So if this were a trade back opportunity, I'd be happy with him. I think at 11, we'll see who's out, who's there if they traded back. But I do think there is a drop off, but at the same time, this is probably wide receiver two last class and maybe a top three wide receiver in the previous class. I think I'd only give JSN the nod because of how statistically awesome he was. But Ryan Thomas Jr. is outstanding. I watched him and went, please, good God almighty, don't go to the Chiefs. And to me, that's like, you know, when you're saying things like that, like that's a player you really want. So I don't think he's not as complete a player as obviously Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr., Rome Odunze. But at the same time, I don't think this offense requires Malik Nabers over Brian Thomas Jr. a ton. I think that obviously Malik Nabers is better. At the same time, if you're a trenches run game dominant kind of guy and play caller, and you want someone who can just throttle down the field and open up play action for you, Malik Nabers is awesome and he is better overall. Brian Thomas Jr. is close-ish. You know, again, top 15 player versus a top five player. So I would understand it and you would have to take him at 11. People are saying maybe 23. I don't really buy that Brian Thomas Jr. is going to fall to 23 if they trade back.
Yeah. I certainly think Brian Thomas is a top 18 pick, like no brainer in this class. I think his physical profile just doesn't really come around that often. I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 6'3", probably could get up to like 210 maybe. I know he's a little lighter now, but he certainly has the frame to put some more weight on. And he just ran like a 4.3 at the combine, 17 touchdowns in the SEC, is probably the best blocking wide receiver in this class as well. Actually, not even probably. I think that's pretty comfortably the case for Brian Thomas Jr. I think 11 is probably a little too rich, like given the defensive talent as well. Again, if you take defensive players completely off of this simulator, like I think y'all would understand that. But I'm not taking Brian Thomas in a vacuum over Terrion Arnold, or you know, the Chargers don't need like a Dallas Turner or Jared Verse, but I would take those players over him. So it's worth a discussion. I think for this specific exercise, we should stick and pick Malik Nabers and just kind of see where we go from here. And I do think Malik Nabers, in terms of the room, Malik Nabers is my favorite fit because he can play in the slot, he can do the Z, he can play the X. So again, it just kind of gives the Chargers a lot of options there. And Malik Nabers can do all of the short area stuff, he can do all the deep stuff, and it just allows the Chargers to have that extra gear in the room that they haven't really had in quite some time. So I think for this scenario, let's stick and pick Malik Nabers.
I would agree. Obviously, if we were going defense, we'd not pick Malik Nabers, but we're going offense, give Herbert Malik Nabers. We're now looking at, you know, not just a short-term fix, but also the long-term. Yeah, Malik Nabers for me. I'm bummed to not be able to trade down, obviously.
Sure.
But the Chargers have now put themselves in a position where they kind of need to go this route.
Yeah. All right. Let's see some options here at 37 that went off previously.
Okay, so a couple of them, if we're looking offense, you know, Jackson Powers Johnson, Brian Thomas Jr., they went 25-26. A lot of the corners are gone at this point. Eddie Mitchell went. The two edge rushers are now sneaking into the first round. Chiefs take Kingsley Suamatea, of course. Troy Franklin is gone. Zach Frazier is gone. And then two corners, TJ Tampa, Mike Sanders still are gone. So corner is definitely weak here. Receiver, not really seeing a ton here, but we've already taken ours. So I definitely feel better about taking the receiver at that point. So I guess the kind of the bummer is like the interior offensive line. I'm assuming Barton's gone. So yeah, you are down your considered top three center options there. So now that's something we'll have to explore later. So yeah, any thoughts? You want to look at any particular direction here?
Yeah, so we did just take the wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Wow, they have Jonah Ellis pretty high now. Okay. This could be a Jatavion Sanders conversation. Mm-hmm. What do you think of his potential fit in a Greg Roman offense?
It's tough because it's not like, look, Sanders is not a blocker. And they clearly just found themselves a certain type. They let Everett walk in free agency and they just signed Will Dissly as their blocking tight end, their bigger contract. Of course, they added Hayden Hurst too, but that feels like a depth signing, I hope, more so than just a pure tight end one starter type. So I like I like the idea that there is a pure receiving tight end kind of option for the Chargers to complement someone like Will Dissly and maybe Donald Parham as a blocker. At the same time, I don't know if someone who really can't block fits with this offense, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, he's a tougher evaluation, but at the same time, this is a front office group that did draft Isaiah Likely, and it's not like Isaiah Likely was a fantastic blocker either. Different skill sets. Likely is much more of a after the catch type, and Sanders is more of a vertical field stretching tight end. So it is interesting here. I'm going to pitch Jordan Morgan here for the Chargers because I do understand why some people would believe the Chargers would take, you know, a Talise Fuanga or a Tyler Fautanu because they can play guard, because they can play tackle. I'm just not a fan of that in the first round. That being said, in an offense heavy mock draft situation, you could take Jordan Morgan here and have him play right guard for you in 2024. And then he's your long-term right tackle in 2025. I don't think that kind of player is worth the number fifth overall pick. But at 37, where in like a real simulation, we'd take probably one of the corners, one of the defensive players. You know, Adisa Isaac, I think, would be a lot of fun in this defense too, even with the edge rushers. But Peyton Wilson, I think, could make some sense too. But I think in this offense heavy draft, I would pitch Jordan Morgan and have him be your right guard of the short term and your long term right tackle. And like he will never get out of round one. We always say that. Everybody says that. But there's like 30 offensive tackles in this class. There's so many guys that are going to go. So I do think it is a at least possibility that Jordan Morgan is here at 37. And again, this is, you know, his ADP right now is 38. I think consensus board, he's in the low 30s as well. So there's always a chance.
I think it's certainly possible. Again, ranked 41. So it's not like we're here at, you know, 57 or even 69 going, oh, wow, he's still here. Let's take him. Okay. So do you have him graded as a guard?
Yeah, I have him graded as a guard, but I do think he can play tackle. I think he could play right tackle going forward. But
yeah,
I think his fit as a guard I like, and I'm not crazy about the guards that are on the board. So I think you take the potential of Jordan Morgan, and the other option is like a running back. I like Jonathan Brooks quite a bit, but I think 37 is probably too early for him, especially given the Chargers' needs. But he would be. In an offense-heavy draft, it's for me, it's Morgan or Jonathan Brooks, I think, or Sanders.
If I'm looking for a balanced draft, or obviously defensive-heavy, you know, you're considering linebacker, you're considering corner, considering D-tackle. But I really like that pitch of Jordan Morgan, to be completely honest. And I think that Jim Harbaugh coming out recently and saying, you know, we like Sawyer. He can play a lot of different positions. We like his flexibility. Yeah. You know, he can do so many different things. Strikes me as kind of you pointed out, and we've sort of speculated it could be the role. Never came to it that he could be kind of swing everything. So, and it doesn't cost the Chargers anything. Of course, like I'd love to see Jamari get out there and start and be great, but he's a former sixth round pick. It doesn't cost them anything. Like him going to the quote unquote bench and being the sixth guy is not the worst thing. It doesn't kill the Chargers financially. And the idea that Morgan could stabilize right guard, or, you know, should things be awful for Trey Pipkins, or he suffers an injury because he's been struggling with injuries the last few years. The idea that you can work in between him and technically McFadden and Sawyer, you're leaning Morgan at some point, like on the right side, no matter what, if with the second pick, the second round pick. But no, I like that. Honestly, compared to, like, we didn't take a receiver, we're considering a receiver. We took a receiver. So honestly, I do think Jordan Morgan, an offensive heavy draft, does make the most sense. And that gives you your swing tackle in Pipkins. It does give you an offensive line for the future. In Sawyer. So I really like it. I actually think it's a really good pitch. I think based on what's available. Yeah.
Cool. Let's do it. And again, for those in the comments that missed it earlier, this is offense heavy. Again, we are going to take a couple defensive players just because the Chargers have 9 picks, but this is primarily offense here. So again, Chargers picking at 69 after going Malik Nabers and Jordan Morgan here.
Yeah. So some names that I would have liked, depending on, you know, what's available. Obviously Sanders went, but that's to be expected. Chris Jenkins is gone. Kyrie Jackson, I would have loved here, but he's gone. Junior Colson always seems to be going right before the Chargers at 69.
Always, man.
like 1 to 3 picks before almost every time. Jonathan Brooks is gone, I believe, as the first running back off the board. So a lot of really good talent here. Per usual, like, this draft is awesome. So the talent here is really, really good. I could be convinced into a running back here. The Chargers obviously don't have a corner now at this point. And so we're starting to suffer there, even though it is an offensive themed draft. It doesn't mean we should avoid it altogether. So I do think you are looking
at Max Melton here. I love that cornerback board right there. Great options.
Yeah. Yeah. I have not watched Andrew Phillips. I love Jerrion Jones. Max Melton is great. I made a lot about his missed tackle rate, and I don't think that's as much as a problem as someone like TJ Tampa. I think both of them are pretty similar in missed tackle rate, the number, but the film looks very different, in my opinion, which is, again, very important. You go watch the film. So I don't want to say we're forced to take a corner here. If Max Melton weren't there, I don't know how I'd feel. But it's between him, Sweat, obviously, and then if you want to continue with offense, Jalen Wright, I guess Trey Benson as well. But
why is Trey Benson's
ADP don't know
still so low on here? I don't understand that one bit.
You go, I mean, I get it maybe pre-combine, but he went out there and destroyed the combine. Yeah. So to have him where'd he go? Where did I lose him? There he is, 86 behind Bucky Irving, like, respectfully, after that combine is kind of ridiculous to me. And Blake Corum. Yeah, I don't get that one. So I'm willing to wait on running back. Yeah, Patrick Paul has never been like a... I love Patrick Paul. I think he kind of does fit what the Chargers would want. Taking our offensive lineman.
Sure.
I do like Melvin better, though.
In terms of like offensive tackle, I would love for the Chargers to solve right guard like in free agency with somebody, but just sheerly in terms of right tackle, I like the idea and prefer the idea of taking like a developmental guy, just because, again, I do believe Trey Pipkins can give you some good football this year. So Patrick Paul in the third, Blake Fisher in the third, I think that would be a really good situation for them.
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw that out there. I just watched both of those guys earlier this week. So I like the idea of like a round three, round four offensive tackle much more than I do first round, obviously. I like those two players. I think both of them would fit the Chargers in terms of like what they're looking for.
Yeah. Like, obviously the depth of the wide receiver class is pretty good, but the same thing could be said for tackle or offensive line in general. So I don't feel like I have to take Joe Walt to switch to the right side, you know, and then have Pipkin sit back and make a ton of money to not start. I feel like if you take Patrick Paul or any of these guys later, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah.
But given the needs of the Chargers, I'm feeling strongly about defense here. They have no... It's right now, it's Christian Fulton, Asante Samuel Jr., Ja Taylor, I guess, is your starting trio.
Yeah, and... Daniel Popper did float that he thinks that Christian Fulton is going to be on the vet minimum. So it's not like he's not precluding you from taking a corner. And again,
no,
this is going to be offense heavy. The running back board, I think you can take advantage of in round four. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with taking Max Melton just for the sake of it here. Again, we have 9 picks to make on offense. So I'm not opposed to Renardo Green either. Renardo would be kind of your strictly outside guy. He's a big physical press corner, so I think that could make some sense. Max Melton is definitely more of a versatile piece that can do slot stuff or outside stuff. So I'm cool with either of those two. Dane Brugler does really like Andrew Phillips. He's kind of a slot guy. I have not watched him, but somebody pointed that out earlier. I think Dane has him like top 70. So. But for me, I think this is Max Melton, and I'm cool with that for sure.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Get a awesome corner out there. Yeah, I'm all for it. I don't love this draft spot for him either. I ranked 80th. I don't think I agree with that when all said and done.
No.
But again, awesome classes, if you're patient, produce awesome players later on.
For sure.
If you get the right position group. So Melton there sounds good. Okay. We needed a corner. I feel good that the Chargers have a corner now.
Yeah.
These fourth round picks are honestly my favorite in the class. Like, I just love, Michael Hall.
This is another one that blows my mind. Michael Hall's pass rush win rate is like exponentially higher than the majority of the interior defensive line class. He's a day two player. I think he's a top 40 player. No brainer in this class. Do not understand that one at all. But there's a few of these day three, you know, selections here that I'm like, there's no chance they're going to be here, but man, I love Michael Hall.
Yeah. Oh shoot. Okay. Hold on. I'm going to try to rationalize every other player first before I come back here. And I don't want to keep mocking him to the Chargers, but I really find him in the fourth round. So, you know, a mock is a mock.
Yeah.
So obviously a lot to consider here. Running back, we have not taken. Center of the future is one of our non-negotiables. We have not taken a center of the future just yet.
Yep.
Unless somehow Morgan is playing center. But corner is obviously really good here too. Yeah, running back is great. Corner is great. You have 2 picks almost back to back.
Yeah.
So I'm...
Yeah, in an offense-heavy draft,
yes.
I think this is either a running back or a center.
I agree.
I could hear you out on the tight ends. There's a lot of crazy talk about Theo Johnson right now. I like the guy as a prospect quite a bit. But there's like day two talk, like round two talk for Theo Johnson right now. I can't get there personally. So the Chargers, I do think, should address tight end. I think Ben Sinnott could be your H-back fullback type as well. Is that worth a fourth round pick? I don't really know. This to me is a Marshawn Lloyd pick, and I think you are sprinting to the podium for that. I love Marshawn Lloyd and his fit. Obviously, Keel McDonald coached him in college.
Yeah,
it's a great balance between him and Gus Edwards. Gus Edwards can be your physical guy. Marshawn Lloyd can do the physical stuff, but is also, you know, a really great receiving option, can hit the edges. So I would be a big fan of Marshawn Lloyd at this point in time.
Yeah, as would I. So second in the per play stats in our composite ranking, second in yards per attempt, first in breakaway rate. Let's see, sixth in yards after contact per attempt. Yeah, I'm all for it here. I think some people in the chat are saying running back or center here, and I would agree. I would go Lloyd here, but I understand why someone wouldn't, given you can wait till 110, and I feel like the running back board continues to fall pretty nicely for the Chargers. But at this point, yeah, like go get a nice compliment in Lloyd, and then we'll reevaluate at 110.
Can you just go to the running back selection there? Let's just see who is on the board for the sake of it.
Sure. So I didn't realize Braylon Allen was this far down. So Marshawn Lloyd, Audric Estime, Braylon Allen, Will Shipley, Isaac Arendo, Dylan Lobb, Dylan Johnson, Tyron Tracy, etc. Down the ways. Did I miss Ray Davis? Is he gone?
He went 102. Yeah.
Seattle, you don't need running back. Stop it.
Yeah, so if you want to go to interior offensive line, then I know Bo Limmer is on the board. He said that he wants to be a guard, so I don't know, yeah. But he can definitely play center. I know that he is at 200, but I A-okay with Hunter Norzad at pick 105, Tanner Bordellini as well. I think both of those guys are very undervalued on the PFF board. It's not going to give us a good grade if we pick one of those two players. It'll give us like a D-. But I think both of those players are outstanding prospects. Hunter Norzad has played tackle, guard, and center. He's an Ivy Leaguer. Like, this is a guy that I think checks every kind of box that you would want as a long-term center prospect. So he's my pitch at 105. Stylistically, like him to going from Bozeman to him, it fits great from a size profile, from a stylistic standpoint. Although Norzad is a better athlete than Bozeman. But Norzad, I think, is just the perfect like Harbaugh center. He is my guy. Like, he is the center prospect that I want. I think he's a better player than Cedric Van Pran. I think he is pretty clearly like my true center three. That's my pitch for Hunter Norzad. He'll be there at pick 110 or whatever. But he's a guy I am definitely hoping the Chargers come away with.
Yeah, I feel realistically like we would have to take him in the fourth round. I watched him, and trust me, I've tried to cycle through some of these, you know, end of day three projected guys. I've watched Andrew Rame. I've watched Drake Nugent from Michigan. I've watched Charles Turner from LSU. Like, I'm trying to find guys later on. And then you mentioned Hunter Norzad. I was like, okay, I'll watch another guy. And I'm like, whoa, what a whole different.
It's a bit of a change of pace after watching Drake Nugent, for sure.
Yes, and they are very different, like body type, strength, you name it. Like, everything about Hunter Norzad is like, oh, that's a day two pick to me. Like, I understand that he's not perfect, but it's so like you can take a chance on this guy because, one, you have a starter in theory in Bozeman that's going to be your starter the whole year, and two, like Greg Roman, these guys, Ben Herbert, like Norzad plus Herbert plus Roman is just a filthy awesome thing. As I pointed out a couple of times now, the Ravens spent 9 day three picks or undrafted free agents contracts on their center that was the starter for them. So they wouldn't be out of the ordinary for the Chargers. With that said, I think we'll lock in the player that's more likely to be gone, which is Marshawn Lloyd. And then we can revisit Norzad. We can revisit it at 110. Technically, we could wait till 140. So it's up to you whether you want to play it like you feel like it'd be more realistic or just play the board. But I'm on board with Marshawn Lloyd here. And then we can sort things out in 5 more picks.
Yeah, let's do Lloyd.
Cool.
And you know he's good when I am advocating for a USC player.
Wow, that's big of you. Yeah, really good.
I will never advocate for a BYU player, though. That will never happen.
And I wish Panay Sewell went to BYU so I could watch him. Put him in the second round or something.
Okay. What are your thoughts about tight end here? We just had a ton of conversations about center here, but what are your thoughts about a tight end?
I can be patient with tight. Okay. Given the players, I think I can be patient to 140 for that tight end, which sounds a bit absurd, but I genuinely do like, based on the board, some of these guys. And like, to me, like Tanner McLaughlin, if you want Theo Johnson later, go get Tanner McLaughlin. Sure. I think the fact that they are so far apart, let's see, almost 100 on the draft board apart, is absurd to me. Like, I think McLaughlin belongs at the beginning of day three. I think he's awesome. I think he can do quite a bit. So to me, having watched some of these guys, I feel comfortable waiting, even though I do like Stover and Sinnott and Theo Johnson. But that's kind of the point. Like, I feel like I can wait for those guys and not feel too terrible if I miss out on them.
Yeah, that's fair. So is this Hunter Norzad then?
Yeah, unless we do go one of those tight ends technically. But yeah, it would be considered a reach for Hunter Norzad, but you and I are on the same page. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And okay, so I'll just pitch one more thing. How are you feeling about corner? In theory, we could take corner here, then get our tight end, and then get Norzad or some vice versa, given the way the draft board is. And right now we don't, you know, one of the things we talked about was having another corner. Cam Hart's right there, and he has your heart. So
he does.
I'm sure no one's made that joke before either.
No. But, yeah, that's another one, man. I have a top 40 grade on Cam Hart. Like, he's of the like bigger physical guys that like have that profile, you know, there's like TJ Tampa, Renardo Green, Cam Hart. I think Cam Hart is the most physical. Like, I do think that he has the best traits in that regard. And I think spoilers, one of our non-negotiables is double dipping at corner for tomorrow. But I think you have a lot of great synergy with potentially doing Max Melton and Cam Hart or one of the physical guys. Whether Max Melton is your slot long-term or your outside long-term, I don't think that much matters. He's just going to get on the field. And I think Cam Hart could get on the field too in this instance. And just give the Chargers a lot of synergy from a big physical guy versus like a guy who can play inside and outside. But Cam Hart, I think just he fits what Jesse Minter is going to want at outside corner as like his CB1 type. Maybe he doesn't have like all pro upside, but just like size, tackling ability, effort is so outstanding. So I'm not opposed to that. And we can wait in this instance on the center because we know in this board that they'll be there later. But in real life, I do think if you want Hunter Norzad, I think you got to take him at this pick at the latest.
Okay. Let's go for realism. You know, no one's going to know who that Hunter Norzad is. That's fine. Hey, you know what? I love throwing new things out there into the world so people go, oh, who's that? And then they go watch him. So I'm down for Hunter Norzad here. 200 is ridiculous. I would take him 40 more spots over Nugent easily. For what it's worth, Cam Hart, I think, is my best available.
Yeah, he would be my best available as well.
Yeah, Cam Hart. And then I have Cam Hart 52nd on my board, then Norzad 60th. So yeah. I'm cool with either of those.
Yeah.
Let's go Norzad here at 110.
Okay. Last thing about Norzad, and this is kind of about any Penn State player, as Alex Katzen profiled all season long, the Chargers scouts went to like 7 Penn State games.
Yes, they
did. That's right. At the time, it was like, oh, like Kalen King, like he's the best player, like Olu Fashanu. Kalen King has fallen quite a bit. I think he's still is on the board at this point in time. But it's not just for one prospect. Like, you send scouts to do everybody at schools, and so there's quite a legitimate track record of scouts going to Penn State from the Chargers. And yes, it's a different front office and everything like that, but the scouts' work is still the scouts' work, and so they did a ton of work on the Penn State players. They have a lot of draftable players, and so Hunter Norzad is obviously one of them.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. Watching him immediately, some guys you watch and you go, oh, it's going to be a long 2 hours. And then some guys, you turn on the tape and it's like, oh, cool, I'm so excited. And the players that make you want to watch more, typically it's a good thing.
Yeah.
It was fun watching him. So I'm all about it here.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic. So now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, so 140. I think we could have the double dip at wide receiver conversation here. Obviously, Cornelius Johnson is on the board at this point in time. Michigan connection, Taj Washington. Is the Virginia guy gone? I think he is.
Yeah, Malik Washington went.
Okay. Anthony Gold is on the board. The NFL did just pass a new kickoff return rule that could benefit him, for example. Nice. He did meet with the Chargers at his pro day also.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Mason Smith in the fifth. Oh my gosh. That's crazy to me.
Don't you kind of hate that we're not doing a balanced draft? Like, look at all these defensive players I want to take.
I know. Oh, I love Mason Smith. Not as much as Danny Jeremiah likes Mason Smith, but no. I love Mason Smith. Logan Lee is nice too. Anyways, so to me, this is a double dip of wide receiver. This is where you take your tight end in an offense-heavy mock draft.
Yeah, I agree. I've not watched Cornelius Johnson, so I can't really speak there. So I would say for me, it's between Theo Johnson and Taj Washington. And it just kind of depends on what you're going for there. I think
Taj Washington and Neighbors is probably a tad redundant. Cornelius is kind of your bigger X receiver. His physical profile is like identical to Nico Collins. So if you want a different flavor, I think you take Cornelius, but I probably do think that Taj Washington is a better prospect.
Okay. Having not watched Cornelius, I'd prefer Taj Washington. Well, I guess I by default preferred Taj Washington.
Sure.
Okay, cool. And then I'll pray to good God Almighty that I have a tight end later on.
Yeah. Ben Sinat, 139, one pick before this. That one hurt.
Yeah. So we sort of got what we wanted, right? We had one of these tight ends fall to us, but we said, cool. And then we went with a receiver. So
yeah.
Taj Washington. And then yeah, cool. All right. Sounds good to me. We are going offensive heavy. You are launching that sucker.
Yeah, this is juice to the maximum. This yes, is big is. Plays all day long with yes. Malik Neighbors and Taj Washington.
And Marshawn Lloyd as a runner, like one of the best breakaway runners. So if you're feeling good about this, we can take Jalen Simpson because we did last time.
He was like our dart throw last time. we could do that. Again, we could throw a dart at one of the corners, one of the tight ends. Is the Michigan corner still here? Newton
Wallace.
Why did I think it was Newton? He probably is.
I think there's a yeah. Really like Josh Wallace. He tested pretty poorly. But as a special teams guy, wouldn't hate it. That's for sure. But I think I'd wait, especially because we did get two corners. Wait, did we?
We only have Max Melton in this on this one. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. We're doomed. All right. Okay. We're now getting to the, well, I know half these names territory.
Yeah.
They took the freaking.
Wow. Jaheim Bell really fell in this one. The Arizona tight end, is that who you're looking for?
Yeah, where did he go?
Maybe he's still on the board, or did he go like really a while back?
Oh, there he is.
All right, yay. So that's an easy choice then.
For me, it is.
No, I'm on board because I think it gives them a different kind of tight end.
Yeah,
he's much more of a move tight end who can be your big slot receiver, if you will. You know, the Chargers, I don't think have to rush tight end this year because they have Disley and Hayden Hurst. Next year's tight end class is definitely better already with just like two or three guys into it from what I've seen. Yeah. So you throw a dart at McLaughlin. I'm not opposed to like throwing a dart at Jared Wiley either. Similar body types, but I think McLaughlin's film is better at this point.
Yeah, I agree. First and drop rate in a good way in this class. Fifth and contested catch rate. The way he catches the football is outstanding. Like, he is your security blanket. Will catch everything. Zero drops last year. Like, give me that all day.
All right, let's do it.
Cool. Tanner McLaughlin.
Okay, so we are in round seven at this point, or is this round
six? We are headed to round seven, slowly but surely.
Okay, so we need a second corner because that's one of our non-negotiables. So I think that can be Wallace if he's still there. Looks like he's off the board.
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 corners left on PFF's board.
I don't know who any of those names are.
How stout are we with our non-negotiables? I will say, with having not watched Marcellus Dial at all, he is 8th in our composite ranking, so that's good. So he's
sold.
He's 5th in forced incompletion rate, just behind Kyrie Jackson and just ahead of Dwight McLaughlin. I have no idea if he's an inside or outside guy, but we need a corner.
Let's do it.
All right, we're taking him. I hope he's good.
Yeah. South Carolina does have a good tradition of corners, I will say.
They do. Unless you're the guy that was cut last year by the Colts.
Oh, Darius Rush, that's right. Oh, I loved his tape too.
It didn't make it much sense to me, but no.
The Chargers taking Tua's little brother would be hilarious. They will not do it because they have Easton Stick and they feel good about him, but that would be really funny.
Yeah, it would. The jokes would be endless. To me, you know, okay.
We have two offensive linemen. We have two wide receivers. We have the tight end. We have the running back. Offense heavy.
We have 3 D tackles to choose from. This board like ends. Nobody exists after 290 on this board. Where is everybody? There's so many other players I might consider looking at, but they're all gone. Okay, obviously Blake Watson, which I do every draft, but like I get it. Sam Hartman is my sister's favorite quarterback.
Yeah, he's a good looking dude.
We took our center. Carson Steele, watched him today. He's definitely a running back.
He is a player.
He runs a 4.77 40, so he is still faster than me.
We do need a fullback. Is there a fullback tab?
No, I think it's just H-back. So,
yeah, there's an H-back tab? Oh, like halfback?
Sorry, running back tab. Okay. Yeah, there's no...
pull up the tight ends. Let's see. I think there might be... That's probably where they would put a fullback, no?
Nope. And we have all 4 to choose from. Thank you, Pro Football Focus. I appreciate that.
Okay, go back to running back then. Maybe they put them in the running backs. Okay. I only have watched one running back or one fullback outside of Ben Sinnott, and that is the Texas A&M one. I forget his name, though.
Yeah, I don't see him. If you don't know his name, then I guess it doesn't really help me. I could look him up,
Texas A&M fullback.
You're getting fullback tape and fullback scouting here today, guys.
That would be Ernest Cronover.
Spell it.
Cronover. Cronover?
That's not here. Okay, cool.
Maybe he's just like not even in the simulator.
Oh, because PFF stops at 300. So I guess they wouldn't have another fullback. So
I'm fine with Blake Watson.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, Blake Watson. Okay. Sounds good. Perfect.
He's your Keaton Mitchell. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. I love it here anyway, so that's perfectly fine for me. So, and that's a good room. Edwards, Lloyd, and then Watson is a great blend of traits there.
Yeah. Yeah, this is not going to be a great graded draft, but I feel good about it.
An F. Two Fs. Woo! That's fine.
Wow.
PFF is
wrong. An F for a 6-round tight end? Like, what the hell?
Go bull crap. I'm sorry. Like, Tanner McLaughlin is a much better player than an F at 181 in round six.
Yeah.
Yeah, can definitely. Yeah, no. Hunter Norzad.
I've said this before. Every time I take a center, regardless of where I take him in on PFF's board, I get a poor grade. Even if it's like, you know, if I traded down to the exact ADP of Cedric Van Pran and take him there, it's like C plus. I'm like, what the hell? Put some respect on the name of centers. And yeah. Jordan Morgan, C plus at the 37. Give me a break.
Yeah, a player who won't be there at 37.
Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, this draft, I think, would be, again, it's wildly unrealistic because the Chargers have needs on defense, too. Like, there's no linebacker pick in here. There's no defensive tackle pick. But you give me Malik Nabers, Jordan Morgan, Max Melton, Marshawn Lloyd, Hunter Norzad in the first four rounds, I'm stoked about that class. Yeah.
Yeah, that's filthy. Nabers, Lloyd, Washington, just flying.
Yeah.
Norzad, great development. Morgan shores up your, like, so we found a way to shore up the offensive line, get a tight end, and still be explosive at the receiver group. Send it in, guys. You know, I don't hate this. Defense is not a thing.
Defense sucks. It's okay.
I'm starting at D tackle. I think you're starting at strong safety. But, you know, we're doing great.
Yeah. Nobody's playing linebacker for this team. It's just the edge rushers. And then Max Melton and Derwin James and Alohi Gilman. That's your defense.
That's fine. Would it be better than last year's? Comment. Let me know. Like, chat. It would still be better than last year's.
Jesse Minter gives us the 30th ranked defense. We're happy.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Okay. So yes, we didn't address defensive line. Defensive line is god awful. Sorry, respect to those who are on the team, but I mean, like, our draft has got awful in that regard.
Yeah.
No linebackers, but boy, we're going to score.
Yeah. Hell yeah, we are. We're going to light up the scoreboard.
We saw snuck in two USC players. Like, we got a Rutgers player. Yeah. No Utah representation this year, unfortunately.
Nope. I mean, in the defensive draft, I'm taking all the Utah players, both Utah safeties. I don't give a shit.
Great. Well, I'm really excited for that one then.
Yeah. No, man, I think this is a cool exercise because it just kind of allows you to pinpoint the needs in different conversations. This is, you know, an offense that I think does need a lot of help at this point in time. Like, the graphics that the 33rd team put up of like, oh, the Chargers weapons are pretty sad. So, you know, this is probably not super realistic in terms of going offense heavy, but at the same time, this is an offense that really needs a lot of help going forward.
Yeah, it does. And I agree with fitness here. I don't do fitness, but I agree with him. Just sign a bunch of veteran free agents for defense. I could see them doing that. I could see them going, hey, we'll roll through. And all right, let's go find some free agents on defense. Add them. You now have veteran corner, veteran D tackle. Obviously not as good as picking someone in day two, like a D tackle maybe, but I agree that that's where they could definitely lean.
Yeah. And again, the defense leaning draft is going to be more challenging for us, I think, just because I mean, you probably have to trade down. We'll see. We'll do that draft at another time. But the Chargers' needs on defense, I think, the roster is what it is. It's a roster reset around Justin Herbert and company. So it is a very important draft. You know, we didn't trade down in this instance, but I think the Chargers obviously would. So again, just kind of covering different bases here, talking different prospects, different rounds, trying to have ideas out there that are not the norm at this point in time. Like who's talking about Hunter Norzad in the fourth round, probably besides us, like maybe Gavino and Alex Katzen, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think who was the Old Dominion offensive lineman from last year?
Oh, what was his name? He went like super early in the fourth round too. He was an offensive tackle. Shoot.
I don't know why I'm blanking on his name, but we were like, yeah, let's take that guy. Always someone. Like, I'm not saying I feel the same way about Norza that I felt about Jamari Sawyer, but like, I thought Sawyer was a day two pick slam dunk and he fell, although he wasn't ranked 200th. I'll tell you that much.
Nick Saldivari.
Yeah.
He was early fourth round too. I think the Saints traded up to get him as well.
See? So we're never wrong. Just it's not our fault or earlier, whatever.
Yeah.
It's Gary. Sorry, just real quick. Gary Rockwell sends in a super chat. Trade down in rounds 3 and 4. I'm down for whatever. Honestly, you get to the, you get another sixth round pick. There were options there. Another running back, you name it. Like this class, the more you lean in, the more you dive into it, the more you love it. Not even just like I love this class.
Yeah. And the Chargers are in a great spot the start of each day to trade down, because I mean, we see it every single year. You know, the guys who should have gone first round, like there's always trades that happen in like the top, you know, 6 or 7 picks in the second round. There's always those trades in the top of the fourth round. So, you know, the Chargers could it very easily just trade down a few spots from 37 to 45, for example, just throwing that out there, recoup another D3 pick, and they could do that again at 104, trade down to 115. Yep. and recoup next year's fourth round pick or something like that. So they have a lot of flexibility. Joe Ortiz is going to play the board. It's going to look a little different drafting this year in like just from roster philosophy, right? But like we've never seen a GM move around the board and pick at different slots as much as Joe Ortiz, I think, is going to. So should be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. I honestly didn't think I'd like the class that we just produced as much as we did. But I guess The more we watch players, the more you like them. So
for sure,
I like the group, man.
Yeah. All right, you guys. Well, that's going to do it for us tonight. Let us know your thoughts about the exercise, your thoughts about players that you would have liked to see pick instead. Audio audience, hopefully you were able to follow along with just us talking about it without the board. But obviously, this is a sign to encourage you to come over to YouTube and be able to interact with us on these kind of episodes. So, Tyler, any other thoughts before we head out?
We're just inching towards the draft, and I'm excited that free agency is behind us. We like free agency, of course, but they were a bit cap strapped. They were certainly a surprise, but the draft is my favorite thing. My draft is the favorite thing outside of the night before week one, before the Chargers crush my hopes.
Yeah, this is our time that we love. Obviously, we're going to have different kind of series like this. We'll release our big board at some point in time as well. So, we'll have you guys covered with a lot of great draft content here on the Guilty as Charged podcast. So that's going to do it for us tonight. Appreciate you guys as always. Thank you all so much for the support. It means a lot. We'll see you on Thursday night where we'll have another show. And that'll do it. As always, bolt up.